السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. We have been discussing the verse 177 of Surah Baqarah, and I explained to you that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's kalam has got such effect when a person recites it with sincerity, with understanding, and then he conveys it in the manner that it should be conveyed, then it has a great impact on the hearts of the listeners. Even non-Muslims who listen to the verse and its explanation, then they believe that it is a divinely revealed verse. If they have an open mind, they are not prejudiced, then they even accept Islam. I was relating to you or discussing the incident that took place in the 1970s, where a lecturer at Treverton College in Northern Natal, after I delivered a talk at that college, he accepted Islam, listening to the meaning, explanation of this very verse. That is what he stated. So in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and up till the day of Qiyamah, the Quran Sharif has the same impact. The problem is that neither do we read the Quran Sharif, nor do we understand the Quran Sharif, and nor do we pass on the message of the Quran Sharif. So this verse we have been discussing over the past few days. And as I said, that this audience is a different audience here. We are talking to Muslims, we are talking to those who have believed already in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So therefore the explanation is a little different, which I am giving to you. What we have to understand is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the verses before this, in Sayaqul, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions about the change of Qibla. For about 16 to 17 months, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam faced Masjid al-Aqsa and made his salat, as was the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala changed the Qibla to Kaaba Sharif, the direction to Kaaba Sharif. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, they had no objection. In the salat, they changed their direction. Up till now it is known as the Masjid of Two Qiblas, Zu Qiblatayn. So what is the bottom line? The bottom line is that we have to obey the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We are being trained to obey the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala says eat, then we eat. If Allah Ta'ala says restrain yourself from eating and drinking from dawn to sunset, then we restrain ourselves. So the training is to obey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukam. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the companions of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was their very conspicuous quality, very distinctive. You could recognize them by their obedience of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It reminds me of Mahmud and Iyaz. Mahmud was the king, Iyaz was his slave. People were jealous because this Iyaz was very beloved to Mahmud. So one day, to test what Mahmud did, the king, is he took a very precious gemstone and he showed it to his courtiers, showed it to his ministers, and he asked them, what is the value of this stone? So the first one that he showed it to, he said, well, it is, this stone is worth more than 200 mules of gold. And he asked the second one, he said, half your kingdom. So each one, after asking him what it's worth, he said, now smash it. So they refused to smash it and they say, how can we ever smash such an expensive and such a precious pearl or gemstone? We just cannot do such a kind of injustice. So he continued like that, and everyone who refused to smash it, he gave them great gifts, congratulated them. So the next person also thought, well, what the one before me did was the correct thing. So he also refused, and it continued until the last one that he asked was Ayaz. So he said, what do you think this is worth? So first he told him what he thought it was really worth. Then he said, smash it. Immediately he took a stone and smashed it. So the other courtiers now got very happy that at last he will be thrown out, or he will be punished, or he will be beaten up, or whatever it may be, punishment he will be given. But when he was questioned that, why did you do this? Did you know that how expensive this gemstone was? Then how can you smash it to smithereens? So he said, what was more important, the stone or the hukam and the order of the king? What is more important? He says, to me the king is everything. If the king says smash it, I will smash it. What is the stone in front of the hukam of the king? So from that incident, Shaykh Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, he teaches us a lesson. And he says, there Ayaz smashed the stone because he says the king's order was far more precious than that precious stone. So he fulfilled the order. So he says, we who are Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala slaves on earth, what is our duty? To fulfill the order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Whatever Allah Ta'ala orders, we go ahead. Whatever is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, what is his command, whatever is his instruction, whatever is the teaching of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever is directed at us at any moment in our life, then we fulfill that hukam of Allah Ta'ala. The fulfillment of the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that is ibadat. If it is time for namaz and a person is making zikr all the time, then we'll say he's not fulfilling the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. When it is time to make the khidmat of his old parents, or when it is time to go and earn his livelihood, or to fulfill the rights of his wife and children, whatever is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if at that moment he is doing something else, then we will say that this person is not a true slave of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So in this verse of the Quran Sharif, this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, that لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وَجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It is not only righteousness that you turn your faces towards the east and west, or west. There was all these arguments of yours about why did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala change the direction, why did Allah not leave it in the same direction, and what about all those people who made their salat in that direction? Now when they are changing to Ka'batullah Sharif, then what is going to be the status of their salat? Now all this is not your department. You are believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or you are the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Whichever direction Allah Ta'ala says you to face, you must face. There's great wisdom in why Allah Ta'ala is making these changes. So again, as Muslims, we must not question the wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us intelligence, He has given us aqal. We must make use of the intelligence, make use of the aqal, and try to understand what could be the wisdom. But even if we don't understand the wisdom, then we must not hesitate to obey that hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Unfortunately, these days, first we want to find out what is the wisdom behind this. Then, if we can fathom and understand the wisdom, then we make amal, then we practice. But if we, with our limited intelligence, cannot seem to understand, then we hesitate to practice. Or we look into all the research that has been done by the scientists and by the different technologists and people of knowledge of the secular world. Those people who have this kind of research, then we wait for that. When we come across some research which extols or gives some virtue of some action, and we also find the similar action that we have been ordered to undertake by Allah Ta'ala or His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then now we will say, yes, there's great virtue in this action, therefore we must implement this. Now, for example, the washing of the hands before meals, that before we have our meals, we must wash our hands. Now, this is the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was that he did not wipe his hands after that, until he had partaken of his meals and then washed it again, then he would wipe it. Now the normal trend is this, that if you have to go to some of these functions, you'll find that the person has washed his hands, then whichever towel is there or his handkerchief, something, he will take and he'll wipe his hands, and then he'll have his meals. Then there was a research that was done, and somebody came up with the conclusion that there is great wisdom in washing the hands before meals and not wiping it, because the germs could have come back onto your hands. You washed your hands, now you wiped it with a towel, so that they say the germs could come back onto your hands. So there was great wisdom that the Prophet ﷺ, did not wipe his hands after washing it before his meals. So now we wait for such a kind of research or conclusion, and then we say, yes, you see, there's great wisdom, so from now on we will wash our hands but we won't wipe it. So do we have to wait until then? Then somebody did a research on miswak in the African countries, somewhere it was done, that why their teeth are so strong, why their gums are so strong, why they don't suffer from those diseases that we suffer. So they said that there they don't have the money to go and buy toothpaste and tooth powders and toothbrushes, so they use the same sticks, the same miswak, and as a result their gums are very strong. Now this research was done. Now suddenly you find even in Europe, America and all that, when the research like this comes out, then they are looking for miswak. So we don't have to wait for some kind of a research. We have to look, find out whether the hadith is authentic or not. Because there's so much of fabrication, there's so much of additions and so much of interpolation, so much of things have come on into deen, which have got nothing to do with the Quran and Sunnah. So because of these fabricated hadiths and things like that, so we must find out from the learned scholars that is this an authentic hadith. If it is authentic, then accept it, make amal on it. Allah Ta'ala will automatically give us all those benefits. We must not make amal because there are certain benefits. That is not a Muslim who is making amal on it because there are benefits. In other words, if we don't understand the benefits, we won't make amal. So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قَبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. That it is not righteousness and piety that you argue about whether we should face east or west. That all the righteousness and everything came away in facing east or west. Then what is righteousness? Then Allah Ta'ala goes on to describe, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. What is birr? It is that you believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Inshallah, with regards to this belief in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the remaining part of this ayat, we will continue tomorrow if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity. So in conclusion, once again, that this is the month of Ramadan and we are being trained to do the same thing, that obey Allah Ta'ala's hukam. We don't have to worry about what people will say, what our families will say, what our neighbors will say, what our society will say. Make amal on what Allah Ta'ala has ordered. And we must truly believe that whatever Allah Ta'ala has ordered, there is nothing but goodness in it for us. Nothing but goodness. How can Allah Ta'ala ever order us or command us to do something which will be of harm to us? It's unbelievable that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who love us so much, then they will give us some kind of an order which is going to be harmful to us. It may be a little difficult in the environment that we live to make amal on that hukam of Allah Ta'ala. But that difficulty we have created. We must not blame Allah Ta'ala or His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for that. Most of us will find difficulty in making amal on some hukam of Allah Ta'ala in our homes, in our businesses, in our private lives and public lives. It is we who have created that difficulty. Which Allah or which Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or which Islam or which government of the world forced us that you must live a certain kind of a lifestyle within your home? You can practice on Islam, on Sharia, on Deen easily. But if we have introduced so much of filthy literature and filthy films and television, filthy programs and movies and every kind of filth into our home, then we say now it's very difficult to make amal. So we have created that kind of environment in our home. We are responsible for that. We don't blame Islam for that. One person went to one Hakim Sahib and he said, "Hakim Sahib, I'm very sick and I got this pain and this ache and everything else," he complained of. "So what diet must I go on?" So he gave him a diet in which he can eat fish. So the patient says, "But I don't get fish in my village." He said, "Well, then eat meat." He says, "But I don't get meat in my village." It's an example. So he said, "Well, eat chicken." He said, "I don't get chicken in my village." "Well, eat vegetable then." He said, "But that too is very difficult to obtain in my village." He said, "Well, then what you should do is leave that village and go away somewhere else. If you can't get anything in your village, now what other kind of diet can I give you? I'm giving you a variety of things to eat, but you say nothing is available. So then you should leave that village and go away somewhere else. Make hijrat from that village." So that is our condition. That it is easy to make amal on all these hukams of Allah Ta'ala, but we have made it difficult. We say, "No, this is difficult, this is difficult, this is difficult." So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قَيْبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us an understanding of the Quran Sharif and the tawfiq of implementing in our lives. وَآخُرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.